I hope you guys are encouraged. I hope that you're encouraged that our leadership takes time to go away and to become unified. And that is so important for us. We need to feel very well taken care of. And you know what? The title of my message today is In Unity and Humility. It's so amazing how God orchestrates things. You know, I wasn't planning to preach this message on this topic, but this is what was on my heart. You know, coming from the summit, I'm sure many of you have many things you want to change. And like many of you, I'm sure that you're overwhelmed sometimes when you think about all the things you need to change. You know, there's times when I'm home and I look at the lawn and all the other stuff I got to do, and I'm like, I don't want to do nothing. Can we call somebody? Can we hire somebody? You know, and I can't. But so what do you got to do? You got to man up and do it, right? How about your character? What do you do when you have a great time with God like we did in the summit? If you didn't go to the summit after you have a great quiet time, and God reveals not one, two, but a dozen things that maybe you need to work on, do you just throw up your hands and say, you know, I can't do this? You're right. You can only do it with God. You know, we can all get overwhelmed, but where do you start? Where do you start the monumental efforts of changing your own heart? You start, I believe, with unity and with humility. Look over in Philippians 2, please. You call up Deepak Chopra, whatever his name is, he'll tell you what to do in his mind. You ask Oprah, she has a prescription for you as well. You talk to Dr. Phil, he has one for you as well. Where are you going to find out what to do with your life? If it's not the Bible, if it's not God, you're going to false idols. Now, am I saying these people don't have things to teach? They absolutely do. But if it goes contrary to what the Bible teaches, it's wrong. How will you know the difference? I'm going to show you how right now. We're going to study out most of Philippians 2. And we're going to look at what God says to do as far as unity and humility. Starting in verse 1, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. And I'll stop right there, and we'll continue in a second, but I want to ask you a question. Where does your courage come from? Think about that for a second. If your courage comes from your muscles, you're in trouble. If your courage comes from the strength of the church, you're in trouble. Because there will be times when the church is not strong. Guess what, guys? We make up the church. So because we make up the church, there are weaknesses. Where do you get your strength from? Paul uses some very descriptive words here. He says encouragement, comfort, tenderness, and compassion. Encouragement is to receive courage from somebody. And he says in verse 1, if you have any encouragement, if you've been encouraged from being united with Christ. Step 1, you must be united with Christ. You know, guys, we could be united with one another. There are plenty of people out there united. But what is the cause that they're uniting together for? You know, robbers, when they rob something, they're united. They're united to break something out your house. They're united to rob you at gunpoint in the street. Does that please God? Obviously not. But they're united. Do you get your courage from being united with Christ? You know, he talks about if you have any comfort from his love. Again, I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you get your comfort from? If you need to go to another person for comfort, now I'm not saying it's wrong to go to somebody else, but the first person you need to go to is God. Because you have to remember that God is indeed a person, not just some, you know, idea, some philosophy. We must train ourselves to receive comfort from God. He says, any fellowship with the Spirit. I hope we're fellowshipping with the Spirit, guys. The Bible says that when we don't know what to pray, that the Spirit intercedes for us. You think you know what you need. Let me let you know, you don't know what you need. You might think you know what you need, but you don't. A lot of times we're clueless. We think that there's one area in our character that we must work on today. And God's like, I'm not really worried about that one. How do you know what to work on? We must have fellowship with the Spirit. If any tenderness and compassion, being united with Christ, creates something in us. Tenderness and compassion. I'm not a very tender man. And I say that to my shame. And it's something that I'm working on. It's hard to be tender. From my upbringing, and you all know I'm from New York, whatever, but from my upbringing, tenderness wasn't very much encouraged. You know what I'm saying? If you were tender, you got jumped in my high school. You know what I mean? If you showed tenderness, you were looked at like a punk. And I ain't no punk. You know what I'm saying? I want to become a punk. I want to become tender. I can't even spell tender. But I want to learn because it's so different than my character. But it's just like Jesus. Compassion. Man, if we're disciples and we're sharing our faith without compassion, we're just doing a duty. Man, I was praying about this the other day. God, help me love Gwinnett County. Help me love the people of this county. Help me love my neighbors. I'm so used to not loving my neighbors. I'm just being honest with you. I'm used to being in a neighborhood, knowing the people on my left and my right for security purposes. Straight up, I want to know who's living around me, you know what I mean? But people down the block, people around the corner, they're not in my life, I'm good. But being a disciple, having compassion for their souls, wondering where they're going to spend their eternity, and actually caring. Guys, we can share our faith all day, and some of us have. But if we don't do it with compassion, God will not bless our efforts. Jesus didn't just go on the cross with this dry idea of, okay, God, this is what you want me to do, I'm just going to do it. They call it the passion of the Christ for a reason. He passionately died for you. He passionately lived for you. We must do the same. You know, it says, once we're filled with this because of our unity of Christ, it's supposed to promote unity in the church. In verse 2, Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and one in spirit and purpose. You know, in our church, we're broken up into family groups. Praise God for that. It's awesome that we're able to have little churches in the community, and we can reach the community, not as a whole, but as little groups. I believe this is one of the ways God uses us in great ways in our neighborhoods. Is your family group united in purpose? Are you one in spirit? Do you want to see your family group fruitful now? Not later, guys. Now. Where it's the driving force to why we get together. Amen. Bring the potluck. Amen. Let's go watch the movies together. But good Lord, we need to do it with purpose. This is not a club. This is not this ain't a family reunion. We're here for business. We are soldiers of Christ. That song says, soldiers of Christ, what? Arise. We need to rise up to the occasion and flat out save Gwinnett County. Now, if you're in another county, we love that county too. But right now, we're focused on this county. We need to get to the campus, to the teens, to the middle schoolers. And then the rest of us. The families need to be one, guys. You know how the high school students are going to be one? Through the parents. I firmly believe we will have a revival in the youth ministry once parents bring teens to church. Because most teens aren't scratching their head on a Sunday morning saying, I'm missing something. That's for the adult mature heart to discern that, amen? And we need parents to reach other parents, their friends in the neighborhood, and say, bring your teens, we have something to show them. And they also will be impacted. You know, let's continue reading in verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus. Stop right there. Don't read that quickly. Don't glance it over. That is a quiet time for months. Because let me ask you a question. Where's your attitude today? Is it that of the same as Christ Jesus? Man, if anyone raised your hand, get away from them quickly. Because lightning is following soon. Because we can all grow in this area. You know, like I said, the title of this message is unity, but also humility, right? Jesus was one of the most humble people that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he was the most humble person, and we're going to talk about that in a second. What's attitude? Attitude is manner, disposition, feeling, position with regard to a person or thing, tendency or orientation, especially of the mind. God teaches us through Paul that our attitude, our manner, disposition, feelings, and positions should be the same of Jesus. Wow. You can breathe now. That could take your breath away, right? Isn't that a challenging call? The most selfless man that ever walked on this earth. I need to imitate him. My attitude. Your attitude is who you are. That's who you bring to the party. If you're a person like back in the day, when I used to go to a party, I hugged the wall. And I was very shy. I had to take substances to get me out of myself. The only thing I take now is Jesus. And I'm not that shy anymore. You know what I'm saying? You can be the same way. God transforms who we are when we give over our attitude to him. When we allow him to mold our attitude. See, our attitude is essential for unity. You know, in John 17:22, Jesus said, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Unity is huge, guys. Unity is so important. But unity must first start with Christ, then it can come to the church. I know you guys know Charlie Brown, right? So there was a Peanut cartoon one time where Linus was watching TV, and Lucy comes into the room, and she balls up her fist, and she says, change the channel. So Linus turns around and says, what gives you the idea that you could walk up in here and take over? And she said, this. She said, individually, these fingers are no big deal. But as a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Linus looks at her fist. He looks at the remote in his hand and said, what channel would you like? Then he turns around and looks at his fingers and says, why can't you guys get unified? Unity brings power. As individuals running around Gwinnett County, we can be misrepresented as just a little finger. All right, there goes a little pinky. There goes a little thumb. But when we make one big fist for God, let me tell you something. A pinky could do only so much. Let me let you know what a fist could do. Amen? Somebody hits you, you're going to know the difference. Then you knock somebody out. You know what I'm saying? God wants us to knock Satan out and just be unified for him. Let's continue looking. You know, while unity is important, we need humility to get there. If we're all stuck in our own positions, unity can never be forged. First with Christ, then the church. If we have all of our ideas coming into the church, in our relationship with Jesus, and we don't allow Jesus to mold our attitude and what we're supposed to do, there cannot be unity with Christ. Because then with the lack of humility, we think we know better. It's the same thing in the church. Philippians 2, verse 6. This is talking about Jesus. He says, who being in his very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The very nature of Jesus is humility. He left perfection. He left heaven to rescue us. He became a man, his own creation by design. He came to a poor region in the world, one who was under bondage of Rome. He came as a carpenter, not as a king. He allowed his created beings to destroy him. And the scripture says, even on a cross. Jesus was very humble. When someone comes up to you, brother, sister, your kids, and shows you the error of your way, are you humble? Do you seek to understand, or do you blow up real quick, or do you cross your arms and get very defensive? And say, you know what, you've gone into a no-go area. Guys, there are no-go areas in the kingdom of God. If something's going on, it will be exposed. And praise God for his grace. Who could beat you down? If they start beating you down, ask them, what'd you do yesterday? What sin have you committed lately? Don't come up in here trying to be all self-righteous now. I appreciate help, but we need to do so in humility. We also have to receive it in humility, but we need to give it in humility. You know, you might be dealing with something somebody else doesn't struggle with. Or somebody else is dealing with something you don't struggle with. That doesn't give you a license to blow up on somebody. It doesn't give you a license to beat somebody up. Who do you think you are? We all have something we're working on, guys. Thank God for humility when disciples could get together and confess our sins and say, this is where I'm at. And another disciple could look at them and say, bro, I feel you, man. I understand where you're at. Let's pray. Let's look in the scriptures and see what the scriptures talk about. Bro, you need to repent. When someone calls you to repentance, it is not a lack of humility. It is a biblical command for us to call one another to repentance. Don't get it twisted. We are not a church where you come in and bring sin, and we're going to say, amen, bro, and start hugging and kissing on you and not dealing with the issues. The hugs and kisses will come. Absolutely. We need to have humility and gentleness and be compassionate. But, Dad, we got to cut that sin out because it is cancer that kills us and our relationship with God. You know, Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible teaches in John 1 that all things were created by him and for him. This same Jesus walked on water, raised people from the dead, and made the blind to see. Jesus is the most extreme example of humility that I can think of. He was raised from the dead, and he made breakfast for his disciples. Humility, y'all. When's the last time you made a meal for somebody outside of your family? We need to have people over in our house, in our homes. If you say, well, I'm not really good at that. Okay, grow. Okay, change. Aren't we always called to change? Imagine you go to work and your boss says, I need you to do this. Well, you know what? I'm really not that good at that. Say, okay, good. Fill out this pink slip right here, and we'll find someone who is. Thank God. God has so much grace. He don't want no pink slips. He wants repentance, and he wants it with joy. He wants us to be happy as we change. Is changing easy? I'm not going to lie to you. But what's the alternative? To stay neck up into our sin? and profess to be Christians, yet have no power in our message? God wants to use us in a powerful way. Man, Gwinnett County, woo! We are in Gwinnett County trying to save this county. But it's not as a church, it's by you. We're all, each individually superheroes up in here. We all have a purpose. You want to wear a cape, go ahead, you have my permission. That might be a little weird, but verse 9 says that because Jesus was humble, God lifted him up. You know, it's so amazing how God treats the humble. When we humble ourselves before God, God lifts us up. And says, I want to bless what you want. Because you finally want what I want. It's only through humility, guys. Isaiah 64, verse 6. You don't have to turn there. All of us have become like one who's unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We are shriveled up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You know, there are times when we may be on fire for God. We might be in the zone. We're trying to do what's right. And God is blessing us to do righteous acts. The Bible clearly says here that our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. It is simply just what we're supposed to be doing. The other times are when we're in sin. We don't need to sit here with bolted out chest and say, look at what I've done. I read my Bible 2 days in a row. Come on, guys, I know that's not the standard. Forget about the standard of the church. What's your standard for you? Between you and Jesus. Imagine meeting Jesus today. I said this to the teen class this morning. Would you be able to look him dead in the eye and say, I'm ready, Lord, here I am, take me? Or would you sheepishly look down on the floor and say, I'm not ready, I haven't done what I'm supposed to do? I think that we all have areas that we could say that, right? Amen? Thank God for grace. And we do need to be, I don't know, if I saw Jesus right now, I probably would look down and be like, oh, my Lord. And I'd mean him, you know what I mean? I'd be, oh, wow. I would be intimidated. But the love in his eyes would erase all that. The compassion that he feels for us would welcome us in. But that's with when we have unity with him. You know, when I think about humility, I think about my dad, my earthly father. He was a humble man. You guys may have heard this before, but bear with me. Before I became a Christian, I used to watch how he served my mom. Every night, every morning, he'd make her coffee. And not just make it in the pot. He'd, you know, make it the way she liked it, bring it to her, you know, a little cake, a little biscuit, whatever she wanted. He ironed her clothes on Sunday nights. 2 hours. 5 outfits a week. Now, I know y'all women wear those little teeny clothes. I iron my wife's clothes. It's like ironing Barbie clothes. But when you iron stuff like this, it takes a while. But every day, I'm talking about during the summer, when he had a bandana on, and, you know, in New York, there's no central air. And he's out there just ironing and ironing. And then afterwards, he'd make her coffee. And I looked at him, I said, you know what, this guy's weak. She should make him coffee. He's the man. Why are you always making her coffee? I was a dumb teen. Forgive me. Don't judge me, all right? And I looked at him, and I didn't see Jesus. I saw a weakling until I became a disciple. And boy, when I became a disciple, I was very humbled very quickly. And I saw how much I lacked being a servant. How even without Christ in his life, he was a natural born servant. His humility ended many fights between them, because he would bow down gracefully. Now, he wasn't a weakling. My dad used to be a boxer. My dad put a hole about that big in a concrete wall. Yeah, I didn't want him to hit me either. He had strength in his hands. I mean, he had those Popeye forearms. But yet he was a humble man. And I had to learn through him what humility was. He passed with cancer about 4 years after becoming a Christian. And one of the things I said to him before he died was, I was so wrong about you, and I was so wrong about what a man truly is. And I thank you so much for teaching me what a man is. I love that man. And I praise God that I had an opportunity to talk to him before he passed. But his humility will be a legacy in my family for generations. Another sermon I'll talk about my mom. She had some great attributes as well. Not just taking coffee. But she was a very giving woman. But let's finish up. Let's look over in Philippians 2. Let's continue in verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too be glad and rejoice with me. Guys, we have so much to rejoice over. We have so much to look around us and see God's kingdom here in Gwinnett County. And we are not the only ones in God's kingdom, but we are a part of it. Amen? I'm just so encouraged. I am so encouraged to see my brothers and sisters come back from San Antonio and make decisions to change. Hard decisions. I've talked to several people and they're just like confessing and just talking about stuff. That's what it's all about, y'all. It wasn't about going there for a trip. It wasn't about San Antonio. It wasn't about the Riverwalk. And all those things were great. But what it was to go on the mountain in Texas, the mountain of the Lord, and come back with faith, with conviction, with things to change and the heart to change. You know, Mike Tolliver said something that I thought was profound. That he said in 2003 was our finest hour. Some of you might think, what? That was my hardest hour. I don't get that, Mike. Let me explain it to you. We saw our sin and we repented and we changed. Here we are in 2012 and there are people in this room that would not be here unless we repented and changed. So we need to be very encouraged that God, not us, has humbled us and helped us to be part of this solution in Gwinnett County. You know, if we're going to continue to do his purpose, we need to be unified with Christ. We need to be unified with one another. And finally, we have to have the same humble attitude of Jesus. Church, if we do this, to God be the glory. Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for the message that John spoke to us today, Lord. I pray that you help us to evangelize Gwinnett County, Lord, and all the other counties around here, God. I pray that you just be with us this week, Lord. I pray that you be with the victims and the families in Denver from the shooting this past weekend. And I pray that you comfort them and give them this opportunity to draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus. It's for him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.